The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's Thursday, August the 4th, 2022, in the year of our Lord. On August 4, 1944, 15-year-old Anne Frank, she was arrested with her sister, parents, and four others by the Gestapo. They'd been hiding in a building in Amsterdam for 2 years. Anne and her sister, Margot, died in the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp. Later, her father would find her diary and publish it, Anne Frank's diary. Today in 1790, the U.S. Coast Guard had its beginnings as President George Washington signed a measure authorizing a group of revenue cutters to enforce tariff and trade laws and prevent smuggling along our coastline. Today in 1830, plans for the city of Chicago were laid out. Interestingly enough, Chicago has no plan now. It is night after night after night. It has multiple, sometimes dozens, of shootings and killings. Today in 1916, the United States reached agreement with Denmark to purchase the Danish Virgin Islands. How much do you think we paid for those islands? $25 million. Today in 1977, President Jimmy Carter signed a measure establishing the Department of Energy. He's a nice guy, terrible president in my view, but he was always a little low energy. So maybe he thought he needed energy and establishing a department of it would help. I don't know. Today in 1987, the Federal Communications Commission voted 4-0 to abolish the Fairness Doctrine. That required radio and television stations to present balanced coverage of controversial issues. I was on television every day at that time on a CBS affiliate, Coin TV in Portland. We originated from that station, and we were on a number of stations across the country, mostly all network stations. And we did a morning program just before the national news came on, and it was inspirational. And I talked about issues, like not to the degree that I do on this radio program, but to quite a degree. And the television stations, especially the CBS affiliate where we originated from, but others would contact me and say, man, you know, I don't agree with you, but I know you have strong feelings and all that, but you're going to force us to have to put on, you know, the left, and they're going to have to make their case and all that kind of thing. I didn't back off a lot, but I tried to use wisdom in making those decisions. But it was during the years that I was on the air. We were on the air 12 years daily in the morning. And it was during that time, this was during that time, that that decision came down in 1987. And boy, that was a good day for me. I thought, man, this is great. I can say what I want to say without having people catching me when I walk off the television set. 5 years ago today, the unemployment rate ticked down to 4.3%, matching the 16-year low that had been recorded in May. Employers added 209,000 jobs. That's 5 years ago today. Thank you, Mr. Trump. Speaking of Mr. Trump, I was looking at some of the results from the various primaries around the country, particularly primaries where we have a lot of listeners to this radio program, specifically Washington State, for sure. And we have quite a large group listening, I believe, in Arizona. It seems we do from the responses we get. And we hope to expand one of these days in Arizona and be on other stations. And when that day comes, we'll talk a little bit about it. But I was looking at the Arizona primary, and there were a number of items there that I think you would find interesting wherever you're listening, whatever state you live in, but particularly for those in Arizona. The Arizona State Secretary of State this state representative, Mark Fincham, he defeated his closest rival, this Bo Blaine, scoring 38% of the vote. Lane received 26, and that was for the Secretary of State. At the end of the day, he said, Fincham said, I stand for the rule of law that nobody has their thumb on the scale of election integrity and election justice. So he seemed to run on that issue of election integrity, which is a very important issue, not only in Arizona, but all across the country. The media are blatantly committed to making that just misinformation. But there were issues with the election in my mind, and I think in the minds of millions of other people. Arizona, the U.S. Senate, a Trump-endorsed tech entrepreneur, Blake Masters, he kind of blew past four other Republicans in the Arizona U.S. Senate Republican primary. In the November 8 general election, he'll face the incumbent Senator Mark Kelly, the astronaut guy, who didn't face a primary challenger. Kelly is extremely left-wing in all of his views that I've seen him talk about. The governor of Arizona, with about 88% of the votes counted as of last night, Carrie Lake had pulled ahead of Karen Taylor Robeson in a five-way battle for the Republican nomination for governor. Lake held the lead with 46.2% of the vote. Robeson, a real estate developer and Arizona Board of Regents member, trailed at 44.4%. That's an interesting race because it was very high profile. It was a national. People were following it. I was following it. It pitted Trump-backed Lake, Carrie Lake, against this Robeson. Robeson was endorsed by former Vice President Mike Pence and eight past and present Republican governors, most notably the former New Jersey governor, Chris Christie. Lake is a former Fox 10 anchor, a television news anchor. She quickly gained momentum in the polls when Trump endorsed her. She was not doing that well, even though she was known, until he endorsed her. Robeson portrayed Lake as an unknown quantity, an Obama Democrat turned Trump Republican only after she decided to run from office. I don't know much about that. Apparently she was a Democrat at some point and changed. So people changed. Ronald Reagan changed, and he was pretty authentic. So I don't know a lot of the detail about Carrie Lake, but apparently what they said about her didn't work or isn't working as they are finishing the counting there. If she hangs on, she'll face Katie Hobbs, Arizona's current Secretary of State, in November's general election. And Arizona House Speaker Rusty Bowers, he delivered testimony to the House January 6th panel. You may have heard his name as a Republican. He lost his Republican primary bid to a guy that Trump backed, and publicly backed, State Senator David Farnsworth. He lost by more than 20 points. So it seems like Trump is having a pretty good success around the country, and who he endorses are pretty much winning. But I was looking at some of the numbers, and we won't take the time to go into that today because this isn't really about Trump as much as it's about the whole election process. And to see if our country is starting to lean a little more to the right than we have in the past. And yet, when I look at Washington State's third congressional district, Trump-backed candidate Joe Kent, he did not succeed in knocking out Jaime Herrera Butler from receiving the Republican nod in the third congressional district. He finished third in the state's ranked choice, the jungle primary system, which means, you know, he won't even appear on the November 8 ballot. But the leading third congressional district primary vote getter was actually a Democrat, Marie Glusenkamp Perez. She had 32% of the votes, and six-term incumbent Butler was second with 24.5%, and Kent finished third with 20%. So Butler was among the 10 Republican congressional representatives to vote for Trump's impeachment. She has taken positions that I don't agree with, I can tell you for sure. And I thought more Republicans would feel that way. regardless of how they might feel about Donald Trump. But apparently, they did not. And Trump has called her a rhino, of course, and he says she fights for the Washington swamp, not for the Washington state. And the 4th Congressional District in Washington gives me heartburn. I'm sure it has something to do with the fact that I was born in Yakima and the Yakima Valley. We lived in a couple of different places my growing up, but in that area. And I can't hardly believe, you guys, Trump backed Lauren Culp. I don't know Lauren personally, but I know quite a bit about him, and I know a lot of people who do know him personally. But he fell short in getting onto the November 8 ballot. He was, as I said, endorsed by Trump. Four-term Representative Dan Newhouse, among the 10 Republican congressional representatives who voted for impeachment. If you don't like the president of the United States, a guy who's in your political party, unless there's a lot more evidence than Lynn Cheney has put forward in this night after night after night charade that they have put on television, I mean, honestly, and I'm not making a defense of Trump, I'm just trying to make a defense of truth, because there's a great decay of truth. We have a truth decay situation in America today. People just simply don't know the truth. And there's all kinds of truths out there. That's the problem. And I'm sure there's a lot I don't know about Uncle Dan from Sunnyside. But could somebody in that district write me a succinct letter, not 10 pages long? I don't need that. But I mean, I'll read it if you send it, but please make it succinct. But could somebody in that district, Washington's 4th Congressional District, just explain to me what the deal is? I knew that area as a kid and a young man as very conservative. And I don't see Newhouse representing that. I mean, obviously I'm missing something. So if you could just write me a note and just explain to me, just explain. If you disagree with me, that's fine. I mean, that's great. But just explain to me how that works, and why, when there are qualified people available that hold a more conservative view on everything, not just Trump, I mean, put Trump aside for the moment, but on a number of issues, and I could go through what the issues are, just tell me how that works, and what are you guys thinking? I mean, I'm just asking. I was born and raised among you, and I'm just kind of wondering what's going on. Anyway, let me know. I mean, truly, I mean that sincerely. But Democrat Doug White, he finished second at 26%. Culp finished third, 21.8%. And as I said, Culp had, Newhouse had 27.3% of the vote. So we'll see what happens. But maybe those districts are shifting more and more to the left. Sadly so. I hope that's not the case, but let me know. Just educate me on that issue, and I'll look forward to getting a note. I'm pretty sure some of you will do that, so I'll watch for it in the mail. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I constantly hear the comment, you just can't find the truth about things anymore. I hear people saying that all the time, and it's true. You can't quite get to the bottom line in today's environment. There's so much noise, and there's so much innuendo, and there's so much nuance, and there's so much kind of gray and cloudy and foggy, and you can't quite see through the fog to see the truth. That's true, and that's no pun intended. It's hard to get to the truth about things anymore. It's been said the truth is a lonely warrior. It is. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis gave ABC's The View a little truth a couple of days ago. He gave them a little inoculation, a shot, a mandated shot that they needed. It was serum, truth serum. I want to talk a little bit about that today, and I want to talk about truth and how we live in a culture that is almost absent from truth. And I'll be talking about things that are happening right now in our culture, in the news, to support what I'm saying. When asked to appear as a guest on ABC's The View, Ron DeSantis declined outright, and he told them why. That's unusual for a politician to speak definitively about anything, but he does, and he does it all the time. This was a change of pace for the media. They can't quite handle that when somebody just speaks the truth articulately and truthfully with some authenticity about what they're saying. They meet few, if any, politicians who say no to a camera. Most politicians, if they can get an audience with a camera, a TV camera, or a radio microphone, they're all in. They'll talk. I understand that. They want to get their message out. But interestingly enough, DeSantis, the governor of Florida, is a little cut from a little bit different cloth. The governor's deputy press secretary, this Brian Griffin, he was explaining to the booking person at ABC that he understood. He said, I understand you just work there and you're sending this invitation for Governor DeSantis to appear on The View. And they have quite a few viewers, The View, oddly enough. But anyway, he said, I understand you just work there and this isn't personal. But he said, I don't want you to be offended by what I'm about to tell you. So he was polite to her. Then he said this. He said, are the hosts of The View really interested in hearing from Governor DeSantis about all the important work that he's doing on behalf of Floridians to protect their health and livelihoods, to stand up for parents and children, and to defend freedom? He said he noted that the hosts have taken a public disliking to the governor and his initiatives. Well, that's an understatement. They hate him. This guy, this spokesman, continued. He said, which of the below statements from the hosts of The View do you recommend our team consider when deciding if the interview will be a genuine pursuit of the truth or worth the time? He said, I want to make some statements. And he said, I want you to understand why I'm saying and what I'm saying. He said, Joy Behar, this is DeSantis's spokesperson speaking to ABC. They're asking him to put Ron DeSantis on the air on The View. He said, which of the below statements from the hosts of The View do you recommend our team consider? Then he says, Joy Behar, August 2021, quote, you're just short of calling Governor DeSantis a negligent, homicidal sociopath because that's what he is. Then she added, this was August 2021, a year ago. What is he doing? He's risking the lives of children, children's parents, their grandparents, anyone they may come in contact with so he can appeal to his white supremacist base so he can continue in his career and get reelected. This is on ABC Network. And they're saying, now, would you please join us? We'd love to hear your point of view. I mean, it's so hypocritical. It sounds kind of tinny to even say it. Sunny Hostin, she's one of the people on The View. She said in June of 2022, just a couple of months ago, death to DeSantis. I think he's a fascist and a bigot. This guy is saying this to ABC. He's reading this off to them on the phone. Anna Navarro, April 2022, on Governor DeSantis' policies. She said, quote, it's anti-black, it's anti-gay, it's anti-LGBTQ+ community, and for some reason the Republican base responds to it, and it's anti-American. It's what happens in Venezuela. It's what happens in Nicaragua. Well, I've spent considerable time in Nicaragua. Lady, this isn't what happens in Nicaragua, trust me. But anyway, Sunny Hostin, February of 2022, talking about Governor DeSantis' policies. Sonny said, it started with CRT. Let's remember that. And those are anti-history laws, anti-black history laws, really. She said, if you start coming after black people, what comes next, right? Of course, the LGBTQ+ community, and then women, and then other marginalized groups. Griffin said, after he finished those quotes, Then he said, you know, he said, we're going to pass on this offer. He said, also, please note, we don't cooperate. We don't coordinate appearances or events of the political nature from the official office. Our role is to serve the people of Florida. Thank you very much. Well, that is a little truth serum that they're probably not used to. The truth is, every mainstream media company wants to interview Ron DeSantis because of his popularity, and it draws ratings and clicks on the internet. It's been very clear. He's been very clear about his opinion on the mainstream, or the legacy, as they call it, media. He will not assist failing media outlets in growing their audience for their smear pieces and biased reporting that's laced with contempt for everyday Americans. He said that before, and he's following through on it. DeSantis is wildly popular in his state, and he's achieved national popularity among parents who appreciate his dedication to parental rights and American families. He's been widely slammed by the legacy or mainstream media outlets that seek to reduce that popularity to some kind of a partisan propaganda. And that's what they do. And that's why it's so difficult to get to the truth in today's environment here in America, this culture. We are bombarded with media outlets. I mean, there's internet and all this stuff. I mean, it's forever. There's a story out there today that some federal authorities or somebody's looking into TikTok. I've talked about TikTok, the platform, the social media site. They're looking into it. There's possible human trafficking being done on TikTok. I don't know if that's true or not, but there's a story about it today. I didn't take the time this morning to read it because I wasn't going to talk about it. But these stories are, I mean, there are a billion stories out there every day, and it just overwhelms people. And you do ask, you know, where do I find the truth? How do I find my way in this world of confusion? That's why I read from Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Be informed, but look at things through the lens of God's word, because otherwise it'll break you. That's the kind of a culture we live in today. I'm reminded of Psalm 32, verse 8. It says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And there's a lot that could be said about that line, inspired line, infallible line of God's word. But I will say this, that when we're looking at things as God sees them, we're looking at them through the lens of God's word, at our culture. And that makes all the difference in the world. That clears up a ton of confusion, because at the end of the day, we say, I don't understand all this, but I want to understand as much of it as I can. I want to act responsibly as a Christian and a conservative, hopefully. And I want to do the right thing in voting and all of the other aspects of my life. But at the end of the day, I know that God Almighty is in control, and I can rest. I can go to bed and sleep because God is in control, and he doesn't sleep, nor does he slumber. So that's where we are today. There was a tale of a Jewish couple, not that Jewish couple that went to Bethlehem. This was a different Jewish couple. Back in 2016, just prior to President-elect Trump taking office, this story erupted in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I mentioned it on this program. They supposedly confirmed how conservative news organizations in this story had caused a Jewish couple to flee the country for their life. This was toward the end of the year, getting into the holidays. Keep that in the back of your mind. Although they never said that, that was the context. They knew what they were doing with this story. So they said that this Jewish couple was forced to flee their county, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, for their life. They knew that was a familiar storyline at that time of the year, especially. But the tale went something like this. A Jewish couple was forced to pull their child out of school so the family could flee, using the word flee, kind of a biblical word, sort of, flee town over fears stemming from fake news stories, blaming them for the cancellation of a Christmas play. Conservative news outlets picked up on that. They had seized on local reporting that indicated that some parents believed that a Pennsylvania elementary school's production of A Christmas Carol had been shuttered, canceled, over the Jewish parents' alleged complaints over the one line in the Christmas Carol, in the production of it, that says, God bless us, everyone. So the conservative news reported on that, but they didn't make anything of it. They just reported on it. The idea that the performance was canceled over the famous line, which the school denied, caused outrage in the community in favor of not saying those words. And as the story went, the Jewish family became so worried and so threatened for their safety that they decided to skip town. It hit all the desired notes for the left-leaning publications and personalities. They came out and they said, look, here's what Fox and Breitbart and all these guys have done. They have published this story that the thing was canceled because of opposition, and now these people are having to leave their home for the holidays because of conservative news. Conservative news had reported that it had happened, and they did object to that line. But interestingly enough, once they had worked this program or this story as much as the program would allow, then it became known that the ADF looked into it, and they found out that the Jewish family had not fled Lancaster County at all. They were very damaging and untrue, those stories. They had gone on a vacation previously planned. They had made the plans and put their deposit down months before. And they went on this vacation, and they were gone. And the left assumed that the right media had caused them to have to flee their home during the holidays, and they reported that. That's how convoluted and layered truth gets in our environment today. Kelly Garrett, he's a professor of communications at Ohio State University. He published a study last year that got everybody's attention, but it was the same thing. It was layered. I don't have time to get into it, but it's in an article that I wrote today on our website, faithandfreedom.us. And he goes through there and he makes the case, and it gets more and more subjective as you go through it, but he makes the case that conservatives are less discerning than the left, and that's why there's more misinformation floating around among conservatives than there are among progressives. I mean, it's a mind-boggling case, but that's the convoluted world we live in. But remember, God is in control. I'll see you tomorrow.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.